Okay. Thank you, Logan. Okay, sorry. You don't have to turn in your Bibles to these. These are just a few prophecies, and we're going to talk for a few minutes before we just get into, and again, the scripture about Jesus' birth. We're going to read the Christmas story and do some songs. So Micah 5:2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And there's another, Isaiah 53:5 through 12. Most people, when I start this, will know this one, but I'm going to read it. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generations who consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Those are just a few of the numerous prophecies concerning the Messiah that are contained in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, who we celebrate his birth today, Jesus has fulfilled every single one of them, except for the ones that prophesy about his return after his resurrection. Okay, well, he will do those eventually, but he's fulfilled every one of them. And so depending on how you classify and how you read and how you divide things, there are anywhere from either 44 to over 400 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament, depending on if you divide it by sentence or if you're taking it as a whole, and different people classify them in different ways. Josh McDowell wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and he said this: "The Old Testament contains over 300 references to the Messiah that were all fulfilled in Jesus." Over 300 that were fulfilled by Jesus. We're going to talk odds for a second. The odds of one of you winning the lottery is 1 in 259 million. The odds of one of you being struck by lightning twice is 1 in 8,987,657, which means it's probably not going to happen. Okay? There's a guy named Peter Stoner. He's a scientist, and he did some math to figure out the odds of someone fulfilling prophecies that are mentioned in the Bible. And some are going to argue, and some will argue, oh, it was just luck that this guy named Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, it was just luck that he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, even though those were prophesied thousands of years before he was born. It was happenstance. It was luck. Peter Stoner did the odds, and he had it figured that the odds of someone fulfilling just 8 prophecies has the odds of 1 in 10 to the 17th power. 1 in that number right there. 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's just 8 prophecies. If you go to 48 prophecies, it's 1 in 10 to the 157th power. That's a lot of zeros. The odds of that happening are 1 in 10 to the 157th power of just, what'd I say? 48 prophecies. Thank you. Another guy, Emil Borel, who's a leading authority in probability, he wrote a book called Probabilities and Life, which I assume is probably on everyone's Christmas list. He said that once you get past 1 in 10 to the 50th power, there is a zero probability of something happening by random chance. 1 in 10 to the 50th power. Just 48 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. What that means, if you want to get all technical and mathematical, which I don't because I'm an English major, Jesus is the Messiah. It is not possible that Jesus just accidentally or by chance fulfilled the prophecies. That's not possible. It's not probable. The only possibility is that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He was prophesied to have all of those characteristics that the Old Testament says he has, and Jesus has them. And it's not by chance. It's not an accident. It just happened. And so Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And that's what we're celebrating today. So if you're here and you're not sure that, Jesus prophesies Messiah, I'm not sure if that's true. It's true. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. God sent him to earth, and that's what we celebrate on Christmas, is Jesus' birth. Amen? Amen? All right, so we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get going. So, hello.
Hey, we're going to sing. You guys know this one by now. meaningful lyrics for us to take with us. Our families in the morning. I pray that each of you on Christmas morning has your own do 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 do.
Y'all can sit down. If you have a Bible, we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it should be up on the screen here. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever."
Come to make you new.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Thank you.
Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, 'And O you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that he had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to get there in a second. Start passing out the camera. I've got to tell them, so start passing out. Get Jaden to help you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 15. That's the Christmas story we just covered in the scriptures. There's more verses to it, but that's basically chronologically what happened. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And you may ask yourself, at least I do sometimes, why? Why did Jesus come? Why did he have to come? And we're just going to do a couple verses and we'll be wrapping up. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, it says this: "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." You are the foremost. We are the foremost. I just added those words in there. Verse 16, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save us. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating his birth. We're also looking at his entire ministry that's going to end on a cross and is going to actually doesn't end on a cross. That's the next part of his earthly ministry, is his death. And he's going to return again. And he did that to save us from our sins. Okay? In Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32, it says this. It says, Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now are you letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in your presence of that you prepared in the presence of your people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." John 8:12 says this: "Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Amen. That's what we celebrate. So we're going to sing a last song here, and this is where we do the candles. So we can go sit. Wait till I light the first candle and start the song. Wait till I light one candle, and then we'll get rolling. Give me one.
Yes, and with us if you would.